Good evening. Welcome to Nighttime. I'm Dave Wager, your host here in the studios at Silver Birch Ranch on the campus of the Nicolet Bible Institute. If you've listened to Nighttime before, you realize we're a half hour of just calm talking about issues that are in the Bible, hopefully driving you to the scriptures and having you enjoy God during this quiet time before you perhaps go to sleep, or after you get home from a busy day. You might have noticed we've switched the music here at the beginning back to Claire de Lune. It's the original music we used when we started Nighttime, and I have no great reason for changing. I just enjoy this tune. So I thought we'd change it up a little bit. Tonight I want to talk about the importance of being silent at times and not gossiping, not talking about other people. Seems to be a chronic problem in the United States, in the church and outside the church. But to set it up, I want to read Proverbs 25 and 26. They're a proverb of Solomon. These also are proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. It is to the glory of God to conceal things, but to the glory of kings is to search things out. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of the king is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the palace of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill and vomit it. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he has his fill of you and hate you. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club, or a sword, or a sharp arrow. Trusting in treacherous man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth, or a foot that slips. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar on soda. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, angry looks. It is better to live in a corner of a housetop than in the house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Like cold water to a thirsty soul is good news from a far country. Like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Like snow in summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a sparrow and its flitting, like a swallow and its flying, a curse that is causeless does not alight. A whip for a horse, a bridle for a donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Like a lame man's legs, which hang useless, is a proverb in mouths of fools. Like one who binds the stone in the sling is one who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes up into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like an archer who wounds everyone is one who hires a passing fool or drunkard. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road. There is a lion in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal too hot for the embers and wood to fire, so is the quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Like a gaze covering the earthen vessels are fervent lips with an evil heart. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Proverbs 11:13 says this, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. I was actually reading a book by one of my favorite authors, V. Raymond Edmond. His book entitled Great is Thy Faithfulness Devotional, where he says, the Bible has supreme contempt and condemnation for gossips. They shall not go up and down as talebearers demanded in the Mosaic Code. Let me read what Edmund said again. The Bible has supreme contempt and condemnation for gossips. Let me ask, are you a gossip? Am I a gossip? Do we talk about people in negative ways behind their backs? Do we talk about people to other people to show how much we know or how much in charge we are of life? Why would we talk about somebody in the negative to somebody else? That doesn't solve a problem. It creates one. We do know that mob rule is not something that determines truth. So trying to get people to think like me against somebody else isn't going to go anywhere. Mob rule is never healthy. Not only that, the majority in the United States of America can decide an election, but the majority can never decide what's right and wrong. That's what's very unique about Christianity. It's based on something that is absolutely true, and whether the majority agree or not, it doesn't actually matter. It stays true. Those who are poor, those who are rich, those who are famous, those who nobody knows about, they can cling to the truth and hold on to the truth. It'll never change. Well, the Bible has supreme contempt and condemnation for gossips. And if you choose to be one who gossips against others, then you're choosing to withdraw from any blessing of God in your life. Now, I'm one who grew up in the evangelical church in the United States of America. And I think that gossip has gotten to an epidemic level. It's something we do online. It's something that Facebook and other social media accounts seem to be based on. People can present themselves a certain way. They can say things against other people. They can be passive aggressive against other people and say things that involve people you know, but not really use their names. I would even venture to say that people are involved in gossip, but don't even think they are. Because so often, we as evangelicals, we define things, but we define them in a way where others are guilty and not ourselves. For example, we would all agree that greed is evil. But we wouldn't say that we were greedy. Because the way we define it, we wouldn't be greedy. We have good reason for doing everything we do with our resources. But other people, they may not. You see, that's a judgmental heart at that particular point. And if I start talking about how other people use their money, then I'm gossiping. Leviticus 19:16 says, "You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." Let me read that again. "You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." I read in this particular passage in Proverbs at the beginning, from Proverbs 26, verses 20 to 22. These are some verses that everybody should know and apply in their lives. It says this, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body." Anyone that's ever built a fire understands this illustration. If you want a fire to continue, you have to feed it something. You have to feed it wood or paper or something that'll burn. If you want an argument, if you want quarreling to continue, you need to feed it. And you feed it by whispering. You feed it by gossip. In fact, here it says, "For lack of wood, a fire goes out, and where there's no whisper, where there's no gossip, where there's no talk about somebody else, guess what happens? Quarreling ceases." There's a blessedness to silence. I think as I've gotten older and been in ministry all these years, I think I've gotten much quieter. I see a lot, I hear a lot, I talk to a lot of people. But I'm quiet. When I'm in public often, I'm quiet. Why? Because I want to be careful what I say. All of us need to be careful about what we say. It holds a certain amount of weight, and we need to make sure that if we say something about somebody, it's interpreted in the right way, and we should be encouraging and lifting people up, not tearing them down. Let me read this passage again because it's so powerful. Proverbs 26, 20 to 22. "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body." I understand that words of the whisperer thing because I like chocolate chip cookies. It's really hard for me to eat one chocolate chip cookie. I used to like donuts, and I still do, but I just don't get them because it's hard for me to eat one donut, too. And before you know it, you've eaten too many, and you don't feel that good. That's how gossip is and whispering is. Sometimes we think we want to hear about somebody else, but then when we do, you have to ask yourself, why did you want to hear that? Do you want to feel superior to somebody and you don't even know if the facts are right? Does the person who's sharing that information with you really want what's best for that other person? Gossip can come in all kinds of forms. Whispering can come in all kinds of forms. It can come in the form of prayer requests. It can become in the form of some religiosity that we're involved in. We need to be careful because the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. It's something about them that we want more of them, and all they do is go down into our innermost parts. They do affect us, but in a negative way. I wish chocolate chip cookies didn't affect me in a negative way, but too many of them certainly would. Proverbs 16, verses 27 and 28 says, "A worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." If you start talking about somebody behind their back, and you're talking to one of their close friends, you could get them believing things that aren't even true. So many times we don't know the details on why somebody's doing something or saying something. We haven't spent time trying to understand them. It's just so easy to judge them and talk about them when they're not around. If they were around, they might be able to answer us. If we had gone to them personally and talked to them because we care for them, they might be able to answer us. If we talk to others, it's not going to happen. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, "Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not." That's not normally a memory verse for children's ministries, but maybe it should be. Because maybe from an early age, we need to understand that sitting around and doing nothing is not healthy. When we get up in the morning and we have no agenda, we don't work, we don't have anywhere to go and anything to do, it is so easy for us to start meddling in other people's business and affairs. We shouldn't learn to be idlers. Idlers just going to see what somebody else is doing, because when you do that, I know we can say, oh, we're just interested in their life, but are you really interested in their life, or are you interested in seeing what they're doing and then judging your life based on what you see there, or judging them on based on what you do compared to them? We are not to be idlers. We're not to go house to house just to see what's going on in their house. We're not to be gossips and busybodies. Do you know there's things that you probably shouldn't offer advice on because you're not in a position to do that? Busybodies are people who begin to look at what other people are doing and think that they need to get involved to help them have a better life. Unless it's coming from the scriptures, and unless it's used like you see in Timothy, where you reprove and you rebuke and you exhort, I'd be very careful. Let me read that verse again, but read it in the King James Version. "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." It's interesting to hear them being classified as tattlers. They see something that's not right and they go tell somebody else about it. See, tattling isn't really something we should be involved in. Yet I will tell young people that if they have a friend who's doing something they shouldn't do and they know it and it violates what the scriptures say, they need to go to that friend and tell them they should stop it. And if they don't stop it, after they've gone to that friend, then I tell them they should go to the parents and tell them what's going on, or somebody that can help them. See, that's the idea of going to a friend first, and then if you really think they're violating the scripture, and they're really doing something that's harmful to the body of Christ, then you go back with another friend and talk. And then you bring before the church. See, that's something you can do. But to just talk about somebody behind their back, no matter how you're doing it, is not right. In this verse, the word busybody comes from a Greek word, paregos. P-E-R-I-E-R-G-O-S. I probably mispronounced that. It's working all around. It's meddlesome. It's busybody. Curious arts. It's somebody who just wants to see what other people are doing. When you get in that position, most of the time you're doing it so that you can judge whether that person is doing something they should or not do. It's not because you care about that person necessarily. Now, if you do, then let that show and let that be a part of who you are. But we're being warned here because we have a problem in this area. God doesn't give us warnings because we wouldn't fall in those areas. I like going through the Ten Commandments with children and telling them, the reason that there are these Ten Commandments is because you're going to want to violate each one of them. And God, in his love and kindness to us, is telling us, don't lie. He's telling us, don't put another God before me, because we're going to be tempted to do these things. When we see something in the scripture that warns us not to be idlers, not to go from house to house and just see what's going on there, not to be gossips or busybodies, that means we'll probably be tempted to do those kinds of things. There are certain people through the years that if I want to know what's going on in anyone else's life, I know I could ask them. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be guilty of that, and I don't want to participate in that. But I know it's true. There are some that no matter what you say, they go, oh, I know that. Because they're busybodies in other people's lives, and they are judging how much information they have in their life, and they're trying to make themselves important by knowing what's going on in everybody else's life. Well, that sounds like a busybody. Let me read verse 13 from 1 Timothy 5 again. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. Those that have been in ministry many years, those older pastors that I know, have an awful lot in their head about the people of their church. And the successful pastors are quiet. They don't talk to other people about what they've heard, what they've seen, and the issues they're dealing with. They don't do that. Their wives should be the same. Besides that, they learn to be idlers. Instead of such mischief of the godly, those of a faithful spirit deliberately conceal the matter, knowing that hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Some people think if you don't say something, you don't care. Really? How do you interpret this verse? Hatred stirs up strife by talking about it, by going to other people, but love covers all offenses. If I know you're struggling with something and you've talked to me about it, that's between you and me, and I can be your friend, and you and I can talk to God about it, and that's where it should end. It shouldn't be broadcast to the neighborhood. If you hate me for some reason, or you dislike me for some reason, and we've talked about it, I shouldn't go to anybody else and talk about the dislike that you have for me. I'm not trying to create sides. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Well, then how do we deal with if we're just really genuinely concerned for somebody? Galatians 6:1 tells us, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Then it says this, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. There's not anybody that's listening to this today that's not sinful. Any of us can go down this path. We can be destroyed so easily with our own thoughts, our own gossip, our own feeling of superiority to anybody. If we find someone who's struggling, we need to use our resources, we need to use our abilities or whatever we need to do in a spirit of gentleness to help restore them to where they belong. We need to keep watch on ourselves, lest we too are tempted to fall into this sin of gossip, the same sin this person's involved in, or whatever it might be. B. Raymond Edmonds said, "The acid test of spirituality is to help the tempted and fallen, not to condemn them, nor to tell abroad their failures. Faithfulness to friend or foe is measured more by silence of the tongue than by its sound when the report is evil. Faithfulness speaks to the malefactors and not to the multitude, and makes intercession to the Father of mercies for the fallen, rather than offering intriguing insinuations to the merciless who are eager to murder the reputation of a Christian." Let me read this again because I think it's profound. The acid test of spirituality is to help the tempted and fallen, not to condemn them or tell abroad their failures. Faithfulness to friend or foe is measured more by the silence of the tongue than by its sound when the report is evil. Faithfulness speaks to the malefactors and not to the multitude, and makes intercession to the Father of mercies for the fallen, rather than offering intriguing insinuations to the merciless who are eager to murder the reputation of a Christian. Proverbs 11:12 says, "Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent." Proverbs 11:13, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered." In the Biblical Illustrator, I read something on these verses that said this: "A talebearer is one who will take in your secrets and hasten to his neighbor to pour them into his greedy ears. He has a witching ear to know your concerns. He is not always malicious in spirit, but he is always dangerous. He is always defending friendships, starting suspicions, and creating animosities. The trustworthy, the antithesis to the talebearer, he is a dependable friend. He will listen to your secrets as things too sacred for speech. You can trust him with your life. He will never betray you." Talebearers, traitors in scandal. The word means a hawker, the talebearer word, or traveling chapman. And the talebearer is a traitor in the scandal, an itinerant busybody. A shrewd heathen was wont to say, "Talebearers should be hung by their tongue and tale hearers by their ears." I don't know about that. But Proverbs 20:19 says, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with the simple babbler." Or Proverbs 25:9, "Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret." In Proverbs 14:5, we're told, "A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies." I think V. Raymond Edmond has something here where he talks about the awfulness of those who speak when they shouldn't, and how wonderful it is to have the gift of silence at times. We need to be those who build people up. If you say something about someone, it should be to their benefit. If you have something else to say, you should say it to them, calmly and humbly before them, to see if you can be somebody who helps them. But we need to make sure, if we want to correct somebody, that we're correcting them because we love them, and because we understand what the scriptures say and want to share that with them. Well, that's it for tonight. I'm Dave Wager here in the studios at Silver Birch Ranch. Goodbye for now.